Paul Sparrow is one of his deputies covering New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont. And you don't have to, if you're a regular listener of this show, I've been steadfast talking almost weekly with people like John, with people like Chris Stawaz, American Medical Response, the state police, talking about the illegal flow of fentanyl, the deadly flow of fentanyl. Last week alone, comprehend this, last week alone in Manchester, New Hampshire, 20 overdose situations, 20 in 1 week from fentanyl. We know it's fentanyl. We know where it's coming from. And we're going to get an update because this is causing too many overdoses in our region, in Maine and New Hampshire, and killing too many people. Number one cause of death in America, people under 40 last year, was identified as drug overdose. Paul with the DEA, nice enough to exclusively join us this morning. Good morning, New Hampshire, the pulse of NH, GMI Studios. Good morning, Paul.
Jack, good morning. Thank you so much for having me on to discuss this important issue. I appreciate it.
Well, listen, also, I want to thank you for what you do, because I know in military, law enforcement, public safety, firefighters, EMTs, getting good people in is a challenge. So I want to thank you because it's probably a very challenging role these days. So thank you for what you do, Paul. Paul, let's talk about fentanyl. The name's out there now. A couple of years ago, very few people heard about it except for extreme pain medication type situations. Pain relief, but it is becoming a deadly thing, and it seems to be, the problem seems to be getting to more and more of a crisis each month, Paul.
Well, you said it best. Fentanyl is a drug with a lethality unlike anything we've ever seen. It is 50 times more potent than heroin. And the influx of fentanyl into the U.S., which obviously includes New Hampshire, is being driven by two cartels, the Sinaloa cartel and the Jalisco New Generation cartel. They intentionally poison Americans. They do it for profit. And their business model is relentless expansion at all costs. And as you can see, as you mentioned, they don't care at what price. The last 12-month reporting period, which is really important, which ended in October of 2022, we had over 107,000 Americans, 107,477 Americans died of a fentanyl poisoning. Let that number sink in.
107,477 Americans die from fentanyl.
Correct.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
107,477.
So, Paul, just because I know you cover the region, correct me if I'm wrong, that would roughly, excuse my UVM math, be analogous to saying that every resident in Manchester, New Hampshire, a city of about 100,000, every single person would have passed away last year. But that was the national number. To give you context, every person in the city from fentanyl.
Yeah, and I actually have another stat for you. So last year, calendar year 22, the DEA seized over 11,000 pounds of fentanyl, over 50 million fake fentanyl pills. What we consider here at the DEA is a deadly dose is 2 milligrams of fentanyl is considered a deadly dose. So I bring that up to you to say that not only you talk about the Manchester and New Hampshire, but that equates to 379 million deadly doses that DEA took off the streets, which is, as you know, a deadly dose. That's more than the entire American population. So DEA seized as much drugs that could kill the entire United States, the population of the United States.
Why aren't we declaring these two cartels terrorist organizations?
You know, we're focused on defeating these two cartels. That is DEA's primary mission, is defeating these two cartels by investigations.
Let me help you out, Paul. That was a loaded question because I know that would be above and beyond you, probably only from the president. Hey, Paul, you said something because I'm trying to explain when I talk with the listeners. 2 milligrams, how small is that?
Yeah, great question. Thank you. That could be, that's the tip of a pencil. That's, 10 to 15 grains of salt. It's very, very minimal, very small.
And also, what are the cartels doing differently these days to get it, to get it into the hands or the bodies of more people here? Are they doing anything different? I mean, we talked about one pill can kill, the DEA with John. We talked about the lacing Adderall, candy, marijuana, cocaine. Is this still what they're doing?
It is. It is hidden in other drugs, like cocaine and methamphetamine. It is being placed into pills. you know, fake pills that are, they're made to look like pills that that someone could get from a pharmacy, but they contain fentanyl. So, yeah, they are doing, again, their focus is relentless expansion at all costs, driving addiction to gain more, a bigger customer base at all costs.
Wow. Am I right or wrong? Because, you know, the broader legalization of marijuana, you're not a policymaker, Paul, with the DEA. I respect that. But you know that many states, for more recreational use, and I'm not weighing in on this at all because I think it's probably a very popular debate even here in New Hampshire in the House, legalizing marijuana for recreational use. Am I right or wrong? Am I right or wrong, Paul, that in, whenever the cartels can, if they're involved at all or can touch marijuana that many people might think might be safe to smoke in reasonable amounts, that they're even trying to get some fentanyl into marijuana, or is that an exaggerated claim that I've sort of seen in social media?
You know, so, I mean, right now, the Sinaloa cartel and the Mexican and the Jalisco New Generation cartel are our primary concerns. Are they putting fentanyl in other drugs? Absolutely. The days of, you know, experimentation are over. I mean, that's just the way we have to look at it. You know, previous generations may have been able to experiment with other drugs. This, we do not have that here in 2023. We cannot do that. And that's something that DEA and others and our community stakeholders want. And I'd like to mention this part. I am new to New Hampshire, but what I have seen thus far is the partnership with other law enforcement and other stakeholders in this community is phenomenal. New Hampshire, and I'm proud to be a new citizen of New Hampshire, is taking an all-hands-on-deck approach to this problem, this urgent problem, and I'm so pleased to be a part of it, and it's something that everybody knows how big of a problem that is. So, yeah.
You mentioned the 379 million deadly doses. One of our listeners just sent in a question she wanted to ask. What do you do with the confiscated fentanyl?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So when the Drug Enforcement Administration conducts a seizure, an enforcement operation which leads to a seizure, those drugs are taken to one of our regional labs, which I'm proud to say that we are building a lab, a New England laboratory, which likely will be in the state of New Hampshire. So those drugs are brought to one of our regional labs where they are tested for what is in them to confirm fentanyl, the presence of fentanyl, as well as any other drugs. And then they're held just for some time for judicial purposes.
Mm-hmm. I presume, because I don't want to get into this side of this, but Paul, I'm going to be candid. I'm very pro-supportive of law enforcement and our military, and I'll admit to something here. I'm going to admit to a confession here. I enjoy action-type movies that may or may not be real. I've seen the movie Sicario probably more than you probably have or want to have. I know how deadly the cartel can be. I've read stories about Juarez. I've read stories about what they'll do if a prosecutor gets in their way or a judge or even the Mexican military. I presume these labs where you make these seizures are well-guarded and protected, or because I wouldn't rule out the cartel trying to come and get their drugs.
They are well guarded. They are well guarded. Yeah.
Again, the two cartels that you're publicly identifying that are responsible probably for I'd have to say more than 90% of this stuff are which ones?
The Sinaloa cartel and the Jalisco New Generation cartel.
And they're both centered in Mexico.
Based in Mexico, they are. They're both based in Mexico. Yep. Wow. And they produce. I would say you said 90. I would say. 95 to 99% of the fentanyl that we seize here in the United States, they manufacture it.
Wow. I don't know what else to say, Paul. Just look at those numbers. 107,477 Americans died last year from fentanyl. In 2022, I had a number here. You had 11,000 or 50. No, what was the 11,000 number? And then
yeah,
50
so
million
11,
fake.
11,000. Yep. So 11,000 pounds. Fentanyl.
Wow. And 50 million fake fentanyl pills? 50 million?
Correct. 50 million fake fentanyl pills in 2022 alone.
And the last thing, can you define what a fake fentanyl pill is or what it looks like? What is a fake pill?
Yeah. So a fake pill is a pill manufactured not by not by a pharmaceutical company, but by a member of a drug trafficking organization, and those are designed to look like pills that you would purchase at a pharmacy, that you would get prescribed from a doctor, like an M30 or an Oxycontin or a Xanax. They try to have that same look and feel, to almost sway someone from potentially using it just because it looks like something that they see in their medicine cabinet.
And before we let you go real quickly, these cartels are very sophisticated, are they not?
They are, yes.
I mean, they're multi-billion dollar. I mean, I'm not going to equate them to like an American corporation. They're illegal, but they're multi-billion dollar corporations, correct?
That's fair to say.
Well, Paul, thank you for what you do. We'll get you back again soon. Thank John DeLander and the team of the DEA right here on Good Morning New Hampshire GMI Studios, exclusively updating us on the fentanyl crisis right here. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Have a great day.